Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Beitz, Daf Tes Zayin. We are beginning 5 lines from the top, Tes Zayin Omer Aleph, with the words Omer Rabbi Yavoh. In yesterday's shiur, we brought down a very, very important concept that Kol Mizonosov Shel Adam Kitzuvim Lo. The amount of money that a person is going to earn every year is designated during the days of Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. According to the Giras of our Gemara, according to another Giras, it would be on Rosh Hashanah for the entire year till next Rosh Hashanah, with the exception of certain hotzos, certain expenses that a person has that are above and beyond your designated salary. And that's Shabbos and Yom Tov expenses, and the expenses you pay to educate your children in yeshiva. Hotzos banav l'talmud Torah. So other than that, you have a set amount of money that is designated for you to earn that year on Rosh Hashanah. Where do we know this from? So Amar Rabbi Yavoh, tells us, Mikro, what's this based upon? What pasuk? The famous pasuk, Tiku b'chodesh shofar, b'kes l'yom chagenu. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us to blow shofar at the time that the moon is b'kesa. What exactly does this mean? Ezeu chag shachodesh miskasebo, which is the only yontif, the only day of the year that we celebrate as a yontif, that is when the moon is covered up. In other words, when we don't see the moon visible, you don't see a visible moon right at Rosh Chodesh. So there's no other yontif that occurs in Rosh Chodesh other than Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, Hevi Yom is a Rosh Hashanah. It's obviously telling us Rosh Hashanah. That's when we blow the shofar, and at this point, b'kes liyom chagenu, and it says right after that, ukusiv ki chok li Yisrael hu. This is a chok for Klal Yisrael. This chok, we'll see, will derive from it means your designated food. And that's Mishpat L'Elokei Yaakov. This is a decree from HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. Now, my mashma, the high chok, lishno de mizonihu. Where do we see sources that show us that the word chok can be understood as a parnasa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Tersiv, we have two psukim. The first one is V'ochlu es chukam asher nosan lehem paro. The Goyish priests that worked for Paro, so Paro supported them, and he gave them a set amount of food, and that was the chukam, asher nosan lehem Paro. Ochlu es chukam, they ate this amount of food that Paro gave them. That's the first pasuk. Mazutra gives a different source. Mazutra Amar Yehocha, he says, the pasuk, hatrifeni lechem chuki. This is a pasuk in Mishlei, where it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you your lechem chuki, your designated amount of food. So we see that the word chok in kichok li Yisrael hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu designating for us our annual parnosa on Rosh Hashanah, or in our girsa, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Tanya, we learn more in a braisa. Amru lov al Shammai Hazokein. This was Shammai Hazokein's practice. Kol yom ofa yo'ochel l'chvot Shabbos. He was constantly trying to honor the Shabbos, and he would do this every day of the week. And this is really the ideal, preferred way to do this, albeit we'll see that Hillel has a different opinion, but Hillel also agrees that this way that Shammai did it is ideal. So what did Shammai do? Kol yomav hayo'ochel l'chvod Shabbos. Every day he would make Shabbos special. How did he do that? On Sunday? Motzo behema no. I found a beautiful behema on Sunday. So he wouldn't eat it on Sunday. He said, oh, I'm going to say this is Shabbos. Oh, mezula Shabbos. No, then Motzah Cheres Noi Menu on Monday, he would find an even better behema. So he would say, the first behema that I designated for Shabbos, I'm now going to eat on a weekday. Meniach es hashniyah v'ochel es rishona. I'll leave the second better one for Shabbos, and I'll eat the first one. I have to eat something today, so I'll take the better one for Shabbos. He was constantly always saving the best one for Shabbos. If he designated something for Shabbos, then something better came along, so he'd use the better one for Shabbos. Hillel's approach was a little bit different. Aval Hillel Azokein Mida Acheres Haislo. He had a different way of approaching how to honor Shabbos. Shekol Ma'aseh L'Shem Shemayim. Hillel was such a tzaddik that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give him whatever he needed for Shabbos right away. And he would say, whatever I got, oh, this will be for Shabbos. And that would turn out to be the best. But the way that Shammai did it is for really the way people are supposed to do it. You're not guaranteed that you're just going to get the best right away. And therefore, every time you get something better, you should give it for Shabbos. But Hillel, Shekol Ma'aseh L'Shem Shemayim, everything that he did was totally for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that he had a wonderful food for Shabbos whenever it came. And this is based upon the pasuk, Shenemar, says in Tehillim, Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom. So this is an expression people use all the time, Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of me every single day. So that was Hillel's approach. So he said, oh, this is good for Shabbos, and that's what he designated for Shabbos. Tanya Yochi, the Braisa says the same thing. Beisham, here we have the opinion of Beisham. Beisham, Ayomrim, Mechad Shabich, L'Shabosech. That every day of the week, from the first day of the week, Mechad Shabich, from the first day of the week, go and try to prepare for Shabbos. And Beisil's approach was, as we just said, from the Rebbe Hillel, Beisil Omrim, Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom. HaKadosh Baruch will take care of you every day, and therefore you can rest assured that you'll have good stuff for Shabbos. Mark continues, Amar Rechama, Rabbi Chanina, Rechama who was the son of Rabbi Chanina, said, "Hanosein matan lechaveiro ein tzorach lodio." If you're giving a present to somebody else, you don't have to go and tell him that you gave him a present. Where do we see this from? From Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenemar umoshe lo yoda ki koran or panov. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this glow to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't aware that he had this glow about him. That you see from here, the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu this tremendous gift, Koran Or Panov, his face shone. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't feel it was necessary to tell Moshe Rabbeinu that he gave him this great present. Gemara asks on this, wait a second. Meisa, that seems to go against the following Braisa. The Pasuk tells us, L'odas ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. The Pasuk tells us that we have to be aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us holy. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, matana tova yeshli beveiz ginozi vis shabbos shema. I have this great present in my storehouse and in my treasure house. And this present, known as the Shabbos, I'm going to give to the Jewish people. Vani mevakesh litna li Yisrael. Lech vehodia osam. You see over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a present and he told specifically Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the people I'm giving you this present. So this seems to go against what we just said. We just said when you give a present, you don't have to go tell them. Here you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's modus operandi, that his method was go tell Klai, so I'm giving them this great, unbelievable present called Shabbos. Lech vehodia osam. And Mikano Marishim Gamliel, Hanosin Pas Latino, Tzorich Lo Dia Liimo. And you see from this, Rishim Gamliel says, Halach Lamaisa, if you're giving a present to a child, you're giving a piece of bread to a child, so you should tell the mother. And this will bring more achdus and friendship in Klai Yisrael. One of the reasons why on Purim that we give Shalach Manos, Meish L'Rei Ehu, is to go and engender and foster this camaraderie amongst Klai Yisrael. So how can you tell me, Rav Chama, Rabbi Chanina, that you don't have to go and tell somebody when you give them a gift? Here you see clearly that that's not the way you should do this. So one says, no, there's no stira between these two approaches. Lo kasha, it depends on what type of matana it is. Hob matana David le'gluye. Hob matana de lo David le'gluye. If it's going to become eventually clear and obvious that you got this present, like by Moshe Rabbeinu, Koran or Panav, everybody's going to tell him, hey, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're shining. So Moshe Rabbeinu is eventually going to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the present. So then lav davka, is there a need for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell Moshe Rabbeinu right then and there, I'm giving you this present. But habi matana de lo avi de l'gluya, if it's a type of matana that's not going to be so clear that it was given this matana, so therefore, it is important and required that you go and inform the person, look, I'm giving you this wonderful matana. Some more questions. He says, really? Shabbos wouldn't be known. Shabbos, nami matona David leguya. How can you say that they wouldn't know that they got Shabbos? All of a sudden, they're observing Shabbos. All of a sudden, all the details of Shabbos. They would know, ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this unbelievable gift called Shabbos. So it's also matona de asida Davido leguya. It would eventually become known. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, tell him I'm giving them Shabbos? Some more says, no, the mitzvah of Shabbos, they would know. However, matan schara, they wouldn't know the unbelievable reward that we're going to get for observing Shabbos. That wouldn't necessarily be known. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, go and tell Klai Yisrael, ani mevakesh litno liYisrael. I want to give this present to Klai Yisrael, leich vodiyosam. I'm giving them this unbelievable reward. They should know that I'm giving them this reward. Amar, now we just said, that when you're giving bread to a child, you should let the mother know that you're giving the bread to the child, so it will engender and foster additional camaraderie and friendship in Klai Yisrael. So how do you do this? My Obidle, how do you go and tell the mother if she's not around? So Shayifle Mishcha, go and rub some oil on the child's face, or umali le kuchlo, put some cosmetics on the child's face, put some rouge or some coloring around the eyes, and this way the mother's going to say, hey, who did that to you? And the child will say, oh, so-and-so, he gave me some bread and he did this to me. Well, where it says, but that's a little bit dangerous. Nowadays, we're concerned people doing all sorts of black magic. Now, that was in the time of the Gemara. Today, we can say, Rachmona Litzlan. I don't even want to say it. You're concerned that people come up to a child so they could, Rachmona Litzlan, have all sorts of immoral and strange things that they would do to the child. You tell your child, don't speak to strangers. So what do you do today, Mai? In those days, because of Kshofim, today, because of immorality. So I'm a Rapapa, Shayif Le Meosan Amin. So if you gave the child some bread with peanut butter, so rub a little peanut butter on the child's face. The mother's going to say, hey, how'd you get that peanut butter over there? And then the child will say, oh, so-and-so gave me this sandwich. And this way, the mother will know that you cared for a child, that you gave the child some bread. And this way, it will cause this achdus in Klai Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan said the following statement in the name of Shimon Bar Yochai. Can I mention many times? When it says Mishum, it means he didn't hear it directly. There were several generations in between them, so he heard it from his Rebbe. The Gemara doesn't know Mistama who he heard it from, so he says, Amar Yochanan, he said it over in the name, eventually, of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, doesn't tell us how he got it. In any event, he said, Kol mitzvah shenasa lem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, nasa lem b'far hesya. All the mitzvahs HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, he gave it to us in b'far hesya, with one exception. Chutz mi Shabbos, shenasa lem b'tzina. The mitzvah Shabbos, he gave to us quietly, b'chashoy. Why? Shenema, b'ni uvei b'nei Yisrael, osi liyom. This is separate, special between us and Klai Yisrael. Agoy sheshavas, yischayv misa. There's Shabbos is not for them. Shabbos is only for us. And therefore, this was given privately to us. B'ni uvei b'nei Yisrael, osi liyolam. Mor says, Ihachi lo la'anshu nachrim Allah. So then, why would the goyim be punished for not observing Shabbos? Famous Gemara in the beginning of Rav Zara Rashi alludes to this, which says that the goyim, they say, we deserve reward. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, the famous Medrash, no, you didn't accept the Torah. Now, if they didn't accept the things in the Torah, so they should be punished for not accepting them. But if this was given b'chashoy, the din of Shabbos actually given before Matan Torah quietly, so then, Ihachi, why then should they be punished? Lo li'anshu nochem Allah. So Gemara says, no. Shabbos odu yodinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them aware of Shabbos. It's only like we just said before, Matan Schara lo odiyunu. He didn't tell them the great reward for doing Shabbos, but nevertheless, they should have observed Shabbos. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Matan Schara nami odinu. That the Matan for the reward was also given at that point in time. However, what wasn't given was Neshama Yisera, lower dinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell them that you get the special Neshama Yisera on Shabbos. Rashi says this allows you to eat more on Shabbos. Other Mefarshim explain, this Neshama Yisera allows you to accept more spirituality on Shabbos. So again, it's both a Gashmias and a Ruchnias present that we have. And this is what the Gemara is telling us wasn't revealed to them. This Neshama Yisera, lower dinu. The Amar of Shimon Lakish, Rish Lakish said, Neshama Yisera, no sin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the mayor of Shabbos. Well, the Matzi Shabbos notlin osan heimenu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Neshama Yisera. It's interesting, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in the Nosei Kalim, that when we say Ufro Solenu Sukkah Shlomecha in the Friday night Mariv, so at that point in time, that's when the Neshama Yisera enters the person, and at the conclusion of Shabbos, then the Neshama Yisera leaves us. That's the interesting minhag that many people have, that Rachmana Litzlan, when a person loses a parent, so on the yard site, they tried to have the Amud on the Motzei Shabbos, because that's the yard site of the Neshama Yisera, the yard site for the rest of the person, the Guf, the Neshama. So that's, let's say, on a Tuesday, whatever day of the week it was. But the Minhag is to try to get the Amud if there's no other Chiv. If there's another Chiv there who's really in the Yud Beis Chodesh, so then they have a higher priority. But if there's no other Chiv there, so then the person should try to daven for the Amud, because that's the yard site of the Neshama Yisera for their holy father and mother, that Nebuch was Niftar and Nifteris. In any event, that's what Reish Lakish said, that the Neshama Yisera is put into a person at the very start of Shabbos, taken away at the end of Shabbos. And this is alluded to by the Pasuk Shenemar, Shovas Vayi Nofash, which we break up and we say, Vay, Oy, Nefesh, that we lost this Nefesh Yisera. Kivin Sheshovas, Vay, of the Nefesh. As soon as Shabbos is over, so we say, Oy, we lost this wonderful present of the Neshama Yisera. Now we go back and quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Osa Adam Tavshil Me'erev Yontif. So we make the Erev Tavshil and you do this on Erev Yontif. Amar Abaye says, Lo Shanu El Tavshil, that this has to be a cooked dish. However, Avol Pas, just plain bread, lo. Which is, of course, we do both a dover that is nefeh, something like bread, matzah, and we also make a cooked dish. People have the minhag to use a hard-boiled egg, but you can use any cooked dish. So you should use a cooked dish. That's really the critical aspect, and not just bread alone. Lo shanu el tavshil, avol pas lo. So Gemara says, maishto pas dilo. Why not? What's wrong with just using bread? So Gemara has possibilities. It says, Elaim, if you want to tell me de melafes bein, and that you need specifically something that accompanies bread. Melafes is a pas. Bread is the ikar food, and you need something to demonstrate that it's special for Shabbos, because we always have bread, so therefore you need something that accompanies the bread. So then, pas is not considered something that accompanies bread, it is the bread itself. So Gemara says, then, if that were true, or daisa is like ground up grains, that is also bread, it's also technically a type of a pas, But v'hadaisa nami d'lo malasa, it doesn't accompany bread. As how do we know that it doesn't accompany bread? Because we have the famous statement from Mizera, Damar Mizera, Hani Bavloi Tibshoi, Dochli Nama Binama, these stupid Babylonians, that they go eat this daisa with bread. That's not normal. You don't eat bread with bread. Bread doesn't accompany bread. You don't make a sandwich by putting another piece of bread inside of it. It's like putting a cracker inside your bread and saying that's a sandwich. So Mizera said, these silly Babylonians, this is what they do. So clearly, the daisa doesn't malafis the bread. So if you're telling me it has to be something that malafis the bread, but we see that you are allowed to be ma'ariv with daisa. Because, well, Amar Rav Nechumi Bar Zechariah, Mishmei Dabayeh, Rav Nechumi Bar Zechariah said in the name of Abayeh that ma'ariv with daisa, you can in fact use daisa. So it can't be clearly something that is required that it be malafis the bread, because daisa is not considered a malafis the bread, and yet it's perfectly good for a Erev Tavshilin. So Gemara says, you're right. Ella mide de lo shriach binan. You need something that's a little bit unusual, a little bit uncommon, because otherwise, how will you know that you're doing something special for Shabbos? Upas shricha, bread is very common. Bread is a staff of life. They have it at every meal. The daisa, however, these types of ground up grains, lo shricha, they're not so common. And therefore, that can be used as an Erev Tavshilin to sow something special for Shabbos. That's the first version that we have. Second version is a little bit the opposite. Ika the Amre, that Abaye said as follows. Amr Abaye, the first version, also started off with a statement from Abaye, and that same statement, Lo Shana Wala Tavshil, Abul Paslo. The statement of Abaye is not changed in the first or second version. It's just a commentary on it. So Abaye says in both statements, Ika the Amre as well, that we said that the Erev Tavshilin has to be a Tavshil, but it can't be bread. Why not? Gemara says, my taima, because here we have here we have the other way around. If you're telling me it has to be something that's uncommon and unusual, therefore it's recognizable, it's special for Shabbos, so daisa is certainly something that is not common. It wasn't common, we mentioned this the other day, that it really wasn't used that much in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore daisa is not something that is shriach. The Omer, nevertheless, Rav Nechumi Bar Zechariah Mishmei Da Abaye, here he says ain ma'arv medaisa. According to the first version, he said ma'arv medaisa. According to the second version, Rav Nechumi Bar Zechariah said over in the name of Abaye that you can't use daisa. Now, if daisa is unusual, you should be able to use it. Yet you can't use daisa. So Gemara says, Ella, the reasoning is the opposite of what we said in the first one. Ella, me di the malafes, but you need something that accompanies the bread. And upas, lo malafsa, and bread doesn't accompany bread. And daisa is considered bread. So therefore, that's why it can't be used, according to this version of Nechumi Bar Zechariah, Mishmei Da Abaye, ain ma'arvin medaisa, because it's bread, and bread doesn't accompany bread. So upas, lo malafsa. So therefore, daisa, nami lo malafsa. And now it goes in accord with what Rezera said. The Omer of Zera, Hadi Babloi Tivshoi, the silly Babylonians, the Ochle Nama Benama, that they use as an accompaniment for their bread, other forms of bread, this daisa. And in this version, that explains why you can't use the daisa. In the first version, that was an explanation to say, it doesn't make sense that that's the reason, because you can use the daisa. Barakatina says, Tani Rebchia, in the following braisa, Adashim, the leftover lentils, Shebeshule Kedera, that are left over at the bottom of the pot that you cooked them in, that is good. Somechalem, Mishum, Eruve Tavshila. That's still edible, that's still food, and you're allowed to say, this will be my Erev Tavshila. That is considered a Tavshil, and that is perfectly good to designate as your Erev Tavshila. However, Bahani Mili, the Isbu Kezayis, as long as you have a Kezayis of it, it can't be nothing. It has to be at least a Kezayis. The shear for an Erev Tavshila has to be substantive, has to be a Kezayis. Our Rav Yitzchak Brady Yehuda, Rav Yitzchak Brady Yehuda, the son of Rav Yehuda, said the same thing, that the shamnunis, the shmalz, sha'al gabi yasakin, that's left over on the knife after you cut up the meat, goro, you scrape off that shmalz, the somechalov mishum Erev Tavshila. And that can also function as your Erev Tavshila. And again, with the caveat, Bahani Mili, the Isbu Kezayis, as long as it has a kezayis of the shmalz. So then it's considered significant, it's substantive, and either the lentils at the bottom of the container or the shmalz left over on the knife, both of them could function as the Erev Tavshila. Further discussion about this. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav. Rav Asi said over the name of Rav, Dogim Kitanim, these little small fish, meluchim, that are salted, let's say make something like a little sardines or herring, and b'hamishum b'shulei nachum. This isn't considered bishul akum. In other words, if something is able to be eaten raw, so then if a guy were to cook it, it's not a problem of bishul akum. Otherwise, if it's not able to be eaten raw, so then if a guy cooks it, then you have a problem with bishul akum. You're not allowed to eat bishul akum. The concern was for chasnus, you may come to intermarry. If you get close with them and you eat their food, so then you're going to invite each other over for meals, and it's going to leave one thing to another. Your daughter going to marry their son, or vice versa. So therefore, mishum chasnus, the rabbis would go on bishul akum. So these dogim, kitan, and meluchim are not considered bishul akum because they can be eaten in a raw state. the fact that they were salted made them edible, so if somebody were to go and cook them afterwards, that's not considered bishul akum, something that could be eaten in the state that it's in right now. So if a guy then were to cook it, it's not bishul akum. Amar Rav Yosef added to this, and he says, v'im tzula nochri, if the nochri roasted it, then it's not a problem of bishul akum, as we just said, and in addition, somech aleh mishum erivet tavshilin. This could be your erivet tavshilin. This is a perfectly good roasted food. This is a tavshil, and you can use this for your erivet tavshilin. However, v'yavdinu nochri kasa d'harsana, but if the nochri were to make kasa d'harsana, Rashi explains kasa d'harsana is mitugon bishuman kirbe dogim, ubekemach. This kasa d'harsana is made up with the schmaltz of the innards of the fish, but it also has kemach, flour in it. And now, if the guy makes this, so he's cooking the flour, and Rav Yosef tells us that this flour is the ikka part of the kasa d'harsana, not the fish, and therefore this would be a problem of bishul akum, and therefore it would be osur under the din of bishul akum. Versus pshita, obviously, why would we think it wouldn't be considered bishul akum? So one says, no, mal de tema, and we turn to tezayin on the base. I might have thought, harsan ikar, that the fish is the ikar part, and not the kemach that's there, kamash v'lon, kimcha ikar. So the chiddush of Rav Yosef is, no, that the flour is the ikar, and not the fish. Okay. Gemara continues, says, Amar Rav Abba, eruvei tavshilin, srichin kizayis. The minimal shear for an eruv tavshilin, as we already pointed out before, when we had the leftover lentils and we had the schmaltz on the knife, is a shear of a kizayis. It must be something substantive, it must be something significant, and that shear is a kizayis. Gemara questions, is he boilu, kizayis echad lekulan, odilma, kizayis lekol echad b'echad. When you're making an eruv tavshilin, you're making it for your house. You can make it for many other people as well. So when we said that the shear is a kizayis, is it one kizayis per Erev Tavshilin, even though you have 10 kids in your house, you have 20 neighbors that you're doing the Erev Tavshilin for, so nevertheless, one Kizayis is good, or no, do you need a specific Kizayis, called Echad V'Echad? If you have 10 people that you're making the Erev Tavshilin for, then you need the Erev Tavshilin to be 10 Kizayisim. That's the Gemara's question. So Toshma, the Gemara says from the following Brisa, so here's your answer. The Omer Rabbi Abba Omer Rav, Rabbi Abba said in the name of Rav, so here he says beferish that the erev tavshilin must be a shear of a kizayis, but it's irrelevant how many people you're making it for. You're making it for one, or you're making it for 100. It's nevertheless the shear is still a kizayis. So even though you're making erev tavshilin for your whole house, can I argue? You have a big house, you have neighbors, friends, etc., guests. Nevertheless, one kizayis is adequate for the tavshil of the erev tavshilin. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. We said if the Erev Tavshilin was by accident eaten up or was lost before you actually started preparing foods to allow you to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, so then lo yivashel lo betchila, then you can't use it. It's too late. Your Erev Tavshilin is gone, so you don't have an Erev Tavshilin in that situation. It's no different than if you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. However, shiur mimenu koshu, but if you have even a little bit, right now we're saying koshu means even a little bit, seeming less than a kizayis, so then somech lo b'Shabbos, then you can rely upon it. I, Gemara says, my koshu. Doesn't this mean lav afal gav the lek of kizayis, even though you have less than a kizayis? So that seems to argue against what we just said, that you need to have a minimum shear, erev tavshilin, shirchin kizayis. And here, even though you don't have a kizayis, you have just a mashuhu, that's adequate. Gemara says, no, you misunderstood this. Lo, the isbe kizayis, if you were acholu o sha'avad, and you only have left a kizayis, then it's still good. But if you have less than a kizayis, then it's no good. And when we said over here that koshu, it means a shear that's significant, a kizayis. Toshma, Gemara says, I'll show you that that's not true. Tavshil ze tzoli, that you're allowed to have erev tavshilin that is tzoli, it's roasted. Now, many are not goris over here, the word vafilu kovush sholok mavushal, because it's very funny. The proper way that you should make the erev tavshilin is mavushal. The tzoli is, by the way, it can also be roasted. So many are not goris the word vafilu over here. And in any event, the Erev Tavshilin can be made out of a roast, it can be made out of kovush, kovush is pickled, sholok is overcooked, mavushal is regularly cooked, and as well, you can make the Erev Tavshilin with kul yatso is spotted, a certain type of fish, dog moliach, Rashi says, it's very soft, and it's nechal kamoshu chai, it's eaten the way it is. This is often known as the Spanish mackerel, and can be eaten raw. This is sushi. Shinos and Lov Chamin, all they used to do was just pour on some hot water, Merav Yontif, and that makes it eligible as a cooked dish, and therefore any of these formats are good to be an Erev Tavshilin. Now, it says, Tchiloso Visofo Ein Lo Shir. It says that there is no shir. It doesn't have to have a shir at the beginning, it doesn't have the shir that's left in order to allow you to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. So, my lav Ein Lo Shir Klal, doesn't this seem to imply that it doesn't have any shir at all, and Akasha on the statement of Rabbi Abba that Erev Tavshilin Srichin Kizayis? So, one says, no, you misunderstood this as well. Lo. Ain lo shir lamala. There's no maximum shir. If you want to have 20 pounds for your erev tavshilin, you can make the entire cow your erev tavshilin. However, but there is the shir lamata of a kizayis. That's what Rabbi Abba was telling us. Erev tavshilin shichin kizayis. Amar puna marav. Another din in erev tavshilin. A ruvet tavshilin shichin das. The concept of an erev tavshilin requires somebody to understand that they're making an erev tavshilin. So Gemara says, who's having this kavon? Who's having the das over here? So Gemara says, pshit. It's obvious. Das meniach binan. The one that's making the erev tavshilin, he clearly has to have das. Here I hin nimuchin mazumin. This says the whole girsa that we say when you make an erev tavshilin, that there's food that I'm cooking, there's bread that I'm baking, etc., should be the erev tavshilin. So obviously the person that's making it, pshit, das meniach binan. So the Gemara's question really wasn't, does he have to have das? The person making the erev tavshilin certainly has to have das. The question is, das mi sheinichu lo bo'inan, o lo bo'inan. You're making the erev tavshilin for all the people in your house. Do they have to know that you made the erev tavshilin? You have guests over. Do they have to know that you made an erev tavshilin? Or is it not that you're making the erev tavshilin on their behalf? Or if somebody makes an erev tavshilin for you, and they made it on your behalf, do they have to let you know? They have to have das, but do they have to let you know? So what it says, Toshma, I'll show you from the following brisa. The Abu Dishmul ma'ariv akulin ardoi. Abu Dishmul, he was the Rav in his town, and in the town of Nardoi, and he would make an erev tavshilin and have in mind everybody in the town of Nardoi. Now, he obviously didn't go and tell every single person in Nardoi, I made the erev tavshilin on your behalf, I made the erev tavshilin on your behalf. And as we said before, ben lecha ben lemei, you just need a kezayis. So he would make one kezayis, or a little bit more, who knows how much he made, but he didn't have to make a kezayis for everybody in Nardoi, and he said, this is for all the people in Nardoi, and he obviously didn't go individually and tell every single person. So you clearly see from here that you don't need the das mi shenichu lo. Likewise, Rav Ami, the Rav Asi, these two great Amoraim, Arvu Akul Tveria, they made an Erev Tavshilin for all the people in their city of Tveria. And this is the minhag, that the Rav, when he makes his Erev Tavshilin, he has in mind for all the people that may have forgotten to do this, so he would go make the Erev Tavshilin. Now, notice that Abu Dishmul, Rav Ami, and Rav Asi didn't announce this. That's because they were the set Rav in the town, and everybody knew that they were the Rav making the Erev Tavshilin on behalf of everybody else. But the Ben Yehuda brings down the next statement, Machriz Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi had to announce, because he wasn't the set Rav in the town. So he would announce, by the way, Mishloi Niach Erev Tavshilin, Yavov Yismoch Al Shali. I made an Erev Tavshilin, and I had in mind for anybody that didn't make one, they could be Yotzi with mine. So that's why he had to announce it, according to Ben Yehuda, because he wasn't the set Rav in the town, or he was a new Rav in the town, and not everybody knew him. And therefore, he specifically announced, you can rely upon my Erev Tavshilin. Gemara says, "Yad kama, how far away can these people be to rely upon his Erev Tavshilin? A guy makes an Erev Tavshilin in New York. Can a guy in California rely upon his Erev Tavshilin?" So Gemara says, obviously not. Amar Rav Nechumi Bar Zechaya, Mishved Abaye. Again, another statement from Rav Nechumi Bar Zechaya in the name of Abaye. At Chum Shabbos. Anybody that's within the area that you're allowed to travel on Shabbos, so they're included in this Erev Tavshilin that the Rav of the town made or that a person made for somebody else, so they're included in that Erev Tavshilin. But if you're beyond the Chum Shabbos, so you can't reach there, so then you're not included in this din of the Erev Tavshilin. That person can't be making Erev Tavshilin for you if you're not within the Tum Shabbos. How Sami, the once was a blind person, the Habi Masadi Masnisa Kameh the Marshmul. He would learn the brises in front of Marshmul. He was an Amora, he was a Talmud Chacham, though he was blind, and he memorized all these brises and he would say them over in front of Shmuel. And one time Shmuel saw Chazya, the Habi Otsev. He saw that this blind person was on Yontif, and he saw that he was very sad. Amalei, Shmuel said, "Am I atzivas? Why are you so sad?" So Amalei, so the blind person said, "Delo osivi erevit tashilin. I forgot to make an erevit tashilin, and therefore I'm stuck here. I'm not going to have food for Shabbos." So Amalei, so Shmuel told him, "No problem. Smol chadidi. I'm the rabbi of the town, and I made my erevit tashilin. I'm having in mind anybody in the town that forgot." Oh, so the blind person was able to eat that yontif for Shabbos. He was a cook at that yontif for Shabbos. The next year, Lashana chazit haviyotziv. Again, the same thing happened. Shmuel saw that this blind person was very sad. So Amalei, why are you sad? So Amalei, the blind person told him again, Delo osive erevit tavshilin. I forgot to make an erevit tavshilin. So now Shmuel is not happy. Amalei, poshea. I see that you're a person that isn't careful. You're a poshea, you're negligent. Now, the Mefarshim explained, since this blind person knew that Shmuel was making it, and he said, I don't have an erevit tavshilin, he was essentially saying, I do not want to rely upon your erevit tavshilin. And therefore, Shmuel told him, since you're a posheat, l'kuli amashari, for everybody else in the town, my erev tavshilin works. However, l'idach, but for you, also, it doesn't work for you, because you specifically didn't want to have it. And also, we have a din that a person who's a posheat, so he shouldn't benefit. So the first time it happens, one time it could happen, you forgot, you made a mistake, you were negligent, you were lazy, fine. But it can't happen every time. And therefore, it only works the first time, it doesn't work the times after that. Tana Rabban, we learn another bright, so Yom Tov Shechol Yos B'Yari Shabbos, when Yom Tov is on Friday, we don't make on that Friday, which is Yontif, an Erev Techumim. In other words, you can't make a special Erev Techumim for Shabbos, and below Erev Chatzeres, and you can't make an Erev Chatzeres Shabbos. If you didn't make an Erev Chatzeres already, then it's too late. That's what the Braisa says. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rebbe disagrees. Rebbe Omer, according to the version of the Braisa that we have, Rebbe's Momekel. Rebbe Omer, Ma'orvin Eruve Chatzeros, you're allowed to make an Erev Chatzeros. We'll explain in a moment why. Albeit, I agree with the Tanakhama, Avalo Eruve Techumim, but you can't make an Erev Techumim. Why is that? Because on Yantif, the din of Tchum also applies. And as a result, so the din of Tchum is asking people beyond the Tchum on Friday. So therefore, you can't go and change that for Shabbos because the din is in effect on Friday. There is a din of Tchum. You can't go change the Tchum. However, but on Friday, there's no problem of carrying. It's Yontif. You're allowed to carry things. So therefore, you can't say that you're not allowed to make an Erev Chatzeros, Rebbe says. Rebbe holds that since you're allowed to carry on Friday, so therefore you could make an Erev Chatzeros for Shabbos to allow you to carry within the Erev Chatzeros on Shabbos. So Rebbe's more makel than the Tanakhama. Tanakhama prohibits both making an Erev Chatzeros or an Erev Techumim. And Rebbe says, I agree with you in regards to Erev Techumim. You can't make that on Friday Yontif for Shabbos, but you could make an Erev Chatzeros on Friday Yontif for Shabbos. More questions this. Itmar, Rabba Mar Halacha Kitanakama, Ushmula Mar Halacha Rebbe. We have the Machlokis Tanoimo here between the Tanakama and Rebbe. So Rab Paskins like the Tanakama. They're both of them are Asr. The Erev Chatzeros and the Erev Techumim can't be made on Friday Yontif for Shabbos. And Shmuel takes the more lenient opinion of Rebbe and Paskins like that. Halacha Rebbe. Gemara says, Ibailu, Halacha Rebbe Lakula or Lukumra? Gemara seems to ask a nonsensical question. When we said that Shmuel passes like Rebbe, so is he passing like Rebbe Lakula or is he passing like Rebbe Lechumra? Now this makes no sense to us right now because Rebbe clearly was Lakula. So Gemara says, Pshita the Lakula Kumra. What in the world were you thinking? That Rebbe is Lechumra. Rebbe is Lakula. He says you can make an Erev Chatzeros, can't make an Erev Techumim. The Tanakhama says you can't make either one. So obviously, if Shmuel says that Loch is like Rebbe, he's going Lakula. So what was your question, Lakula or Lechumra? Gemara says because there's another gears over here. Mishum the Sholach Rabbi Elazar Legola. Rabbi Elazar learned this brisa, the machlokes between Tanakam and Rabbi. He had the attributions switched around. The Sholach Rabbi Elazar Legola. Lo kesheshem sholim volo. No, you're making a mistake learning the brisa the way the gears that we have it. That Rebbe is the one that's Mekel. He's Rebbe's Matir, Chom Osu. They're the ones that are stricter. No! The other way around. Ella, Rebbe is the more Machmer opinion. Rebbe is the one that said, you can't make an Erev Chatzeros or an Erev Techumim. And it was the Tanakam and the Chachamim that were Matir to make the Erev Chatzeros, albeit they agreed that you're not allowed to make the Erev Techumim. So according to the Girsa of Rabbi Elazar, now we understand the question. When we said that the Halacha is like Rebbe, did we mean like the first version, that it would be Lekula, or like the version of Rabbi Elazar, that it would be Lechumra? Where it answers from the following brisa. Toshma, the brisa clearly states the Rav Tachlifa Bar Avdimi, Ovad Ovda Kavasi the Shmuel, he once paskined over here like Shmuel. Now, we'll see in a moment which way he paskined. When Rav heard that this young Talmud Chacham of Tachlifa Bar Avdimi made his first psak over here and he paskined over here like Shmuel, so the Omer Rav, so Rav said, Tchila Sara, the Hayit Suvim Rabbanon, Likukula. This first authoritative psak that this young rabbi made, he unfortunately caused a kilkul, he caused trouble. Now, why did he cause trouble? So the Gemara says, now we can see how he paskined. When he said he paskined like Shmuel, obviously he was paskining over here like the opinion that Shmuel went Lekula. So yeah, Amos Bishlom Lekula Kamar. So then we understand. Hainu Kilkula. He paskined that it was Mutter, and they made it, and everybody's carrying out, and they weren't allowed to. So that's the Kilkul that could occur. So if you say that Shmuel paskined like the lenient first version of the Braisa that Rebbe says, Ma'arvin Eri Chatzeros, so now we understand why Rav was upset at this young Talmud Chacham of Techlifa Bar Avdimi, who paskined like Shmuel, Lekula. But, Eli Yaris Lechumra, if you're telling me that he paskined Lechumra, and he didn't allow you to make an Eri Chatzeros, so my Kilkul Ika. So then Rav could say he made a mistake, but what Kilkul, what Takala could come out of that? Gemara says, no, being machmir isn't a good thing. Kivan the makalkli barabim, because now nobody made an Erev Chatzeros, because he possibly not allowed to do this, but people still carried. If they'd made an Erev Chatzeros, the people would be carrying the hatter, but now they were carrying without hatter, and therefore that was the kilko that this young Rav made by passing lechumra, like Shmuel's opinion that Rebbe was lechumra. And therefore, there's no raya here from this story that Shmuel went Lakula or Lechumra according to the opinion of Rebbe, like the first version Lakula or like the second version Lechumra. We turn to Yitzayin Amin Aleph. I forgot to read the words, Hainu Lakula. So the Kilkul was that if he paskined over here, not to make an Erev Chatzeros, but people carry, that would be the Kilkul. How do we conclude? How do we paskin? Amar Rava, Amar Ruchist, Amar Ravuna, Rava saying Ruchist, saying Ravuna, Halacha Kir Rebbe, Vilna Esor. We paskin like the second version that we go Lechumra, that Rebbe was the one that said, you can't make an Erev Chatzeros or an Erev Techumim, as opposed to the Tanakhama. It says, I agree, you can't make an Erev Techumim, but you can make an Erev Chatzeros. With this, we conclude today's shiur.